In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
Truly is risen.
You know, I think back on when I was a child growing up in the church, and a lot of wisdom comes from those years, you know, in retrospect. So I think about my experience of Easter, of Pascha, and I always thought it was kind of strange to get to the Sunday after where we are today. Excuse me. Because already in the Gospel, in both Gospels, the Matins and the Liturgy Gospel, doubt is starting to creep in. And as a little boy, I thought that's the strangest thing. You know, we've all just been illumined with the light of the risen Christ and chanting and greeting each other, Christ is risen. And after that Paschal homily of St. John Chrysostom, which so beautifully and eloquently declares, you know, Christ is risen and not one dead remains in the tomb. Death is overthrown. All is forgiven. Everybody is welcome to the feast. Then we get to just 1 week later, the next time we're in church, and there's doubt. I thought that was strange. But here we are, beloved in Christ. Here we are, and with years, more wisdom comes, thank God. And we learn that this is how we are as people often. In the Matins Gospel, I said, we heard that Jesus is risen from the dead. He appears to his disciples and he goes and he stands on a mountain and he teaches them. And it says that they worshipped him, but some doubted. There he is in his risen glory and they're beholding him and doubting. And then today, of course, in the Gospel we just heard, Thomas, one of the 12, was not given the opportunity to be there when Jesus appeared to the others, and when they told him about it, he doubted. Thomas said, to paraphrase, I need proof. I need to see. I need to touch. I need to believe because I have physical proof. Otherwise, I will not believe. So this doubt creeps in almost right away in the good news of the risen Christ. Just want to pause for a minute and let you think about something, all of us here today. Do you think it's strange that in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all four of the accounts, think about this, there is not one description of the resurrection of Jesus. It's not part of the narrative at all. I challenge you to find that in all four of the Gospels. Nothing about the resurrection of Jesus. How it happened. Who was there. It doesn't say he woke up as if from sleep and he moved the stone and he walked out of the grave. There's nothing. Not a thing. We are standing at the foot of the cross at one point. We are with Nicodemus and the others taking Jesus' body down from the cross and anointing him for burial. And we are with the women on the first day of the week, early, before the rising of the sun. And we get there, and there's an empty tomb. So I point this out today because it's a little strange in the narrative. You know, this is the heart of the Christian proclamation that Jesus is risen. You know, his resurrection, and not one description of it. Only, as we said, women coming to the tomb and finding nothing there. If you look in the Gospel of Matthew, the closest thing you'll find to a dramatic narrative is something like an earthquake. And that's describing the angel coming down and moving the stone and the guards being struck as dead men. But they're moving the stone not so that Jesus could come out of the tomb. No, they're moving the stone to show that he's not even in there. So it's already happened. So why do we bring this up today? As Orthodox, we should love this. All of the information we have, all of the good news that we receive, the very heart of the Gospel is coming to us from other people, other witnesses. very important witnesses, the apostles themselves. See, in the Gospels, the role of an apostle is a very prominent role, and it's important because the apostle has to be an eyewitness. It was important that the apostles saw the risen Christ, because then they could go and tell other people about it. And they could go and tell other people and teach this and spread this. And the good news would be spread not because people saw with their eyes or touched with their hands or came into contact physically with the risen Jesus, but because they believed. They believed through faith. So it seems a little strange on one hand, but I'm going to say today, I think that's the way God wants it. He doesn't want us to hear the narrative description of the resurrection. It's immaterial, so to speak. All that we need to know is he was crucified. They put him in the tomb. And when the women came early in the morning, before the rising of the sun, he wasn't in there. And some of them saw Jesus. And he said, go tell the others. You know, the angel proclaimed the news, and some of them saw Jesus, and then he appeared to the others, and so forth and so forth. This is the way God wants it, beloved. He wants us to believe because of the witness of the apostles. He wants us to pass on the faith through our generations, you know, through the teaching and the sharing of that good news. So Thomas today, the doubter, the one who needed physical proof, it's also kind of strange that in our hymns, we heard this at Vespers last night, it says, oh, the delicacy of the beautiful unbelief of Thomas. Can you believe that language? The delicacy of the beautiful unbelief. So we scratch our heads and we say, wow, you know, I thought unbelief came from hard-heartedness. It came from lacking faith, right? Well, on the one hand, it does, but the church sees this as an opportunity for salvation, opportunity for witness, opportunity to believe. Unbelief comes before belief. So there is Thomas. And what happens when Jesus does grant him the opportunity to touch and to feel and to be physically present? You know, see my hands and my side. It is I. Thomas believes, and he proclaims, my Lord and my God. A very profound declaration of Jesus, the risen Lord, as God himself. And one of the most beautifully phrased in all of the scriptures. So, Thomas believes. He grows in his faith. He is saved at that moment, we might say. In the feast day of the Dormition of the Virgin Mary, it's the last feast day we celebrate in the church here. There's the icon right there, that small one over here on this wall. We see all the apostles gathered around Mary, and our church tradition teaches that Thomas was not there at that funeral, singing the praises of the Virgin Mary at her death. He was not present. All of the apostles were called from wherever they were at that moment to be there. And Thomas got there too late. He missed it, so to speak. So the church gives us a little bit of an indication of how the mercy of God is. You know, why was Thomas not granted to be there? Because he didn't believe the first time? He didn't believe Jesus until he saw him? Is he being punished? I think Thomas is being given a second chance to believe on faith. You know, he wasn't physically there to see the Virgin Mary fall asleep, as we say. She had already ascended into heaven bodily, and our church believes that. He was not there to see it, and yet he believed it. So Thomas was given a second chance in that icon, in that feast day. Through the mercy of God, Remember what Jesus says in the gospel today. Blessed are those. Blessed. He's talking about us. None of us have seen the risen Lord. We haven't touched his body or felt the prints of the nails, and yet we believe. We are blessed if we believe and have not seen. So Thomas is counted then among the blessed in that the keeping of that feast day. You know, this can be a challenge to all of us to believe in the world. Not just today, at any time in history, I'm sure it's been a challenge. As we see, there were doubters when Jesus was risen from the dead. They were looking at him face to face, hearing his words, and they were doubting that this was the power of God. Well, we're challenged, in other words, right? But God wants us to have faith. He tells us, do not be faithless, but believing. God ordained it this way, beloved, that we wouldn't have intangible proof. None of us can prove anything. We can't prove that God raised Jesus from the dead. We can't convince somebody by arguing, right? If they don't believe. We have to accept it with a pure heart. And one of the hymns this morning at Matin said, Lord, we have not beheld thee, even though we have believed with an eager heart the good news of thy resurrection. So we think about that, and we ponder it, and we wonder maybe, what is our role? You know, we have received faith from the apostles. I always like to tell young people, of course now today, we like to defend our faith. You know, and we get challenged by other beliefs, you know, non-Christian beliefs, other belief systems in the world and other religions. What do you believe and why? So young people, especially at the college age, they debate and they talk about it. And they might feel they have to defend their faith. And that's good to do. But honestly, we don't have much to go on except that we believe. And it's in here. And I like to tell them that it's okay. Of course, it's okay to defend your faith. It's okay to talk about why you believe if you can develop a good argument. But it's okay to say, I believe because I was taught this way. I believe because this is what I was shown. That's okay and that's enough. That's why we all believe, isn't it? I said the Orthodox really like this because everything we have is given to us from the apostles. And we put so much emphasis on apostolic succession and the communion of the saints and the ones who came before us who established this faith, who died for this faith, who gave their blood, and who made sure to take this faith to the ends of the earth so that all could hear and believe. That's the point, finally. That's the point. There are many things. Jesus did many things, right? Many of which are not written in this book, the Gospel of John says, near the end. He did many other things in the presence of his disciples. They're not written here. But these are written so that you might believe, and that believing you may have life in his name. So that's what God wants from us, beloved in Christ. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to believe, and he wants us to have life because of that belief. Because we know that there's no life without the belief. If we live our lives hard-hearted, skeptical, unloving, and unreceptive, and doubting the whole time, we will not have life. The only life there is in Jesus crucified and risen from the dead for us and for our salvation. So that's the important point to make today, the most important thing to say. In our lives, when we have to teach other people, when we have to be a living witness, which we're all called to do when we're baptized, right? If we're called to do that daily, if we're called to do that on occasion,
you know, we're never going to convince people by argument, really, are we? Everybody's going to have a better argument or sharper words or be more witty or be willing to put somebody down. The only thing we have is our faith and the light of Christ that we can show another person. You know, that's the only way we're going to teach people. That's the only way we're going to share this good news. Like I said, you can't prove it. You have no tangible physical proof. The risen Christ is going to come out in you and in your face and the way you treat other people and the way you talk to them and in your love for one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, Jesus says, if you have love for one another. Let us remember that today, beloved, as we proclaim the good news, as we rejoice in Thomas's doubt, because from doubt comes a proclamation of faith, my Lord and my God. And from that proclamation, we today can share in the good news and proclaim Christ is risen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.